the meeting of the special consultant committee meeting to order at 11:03.
First, Daryl, this is Mike. Denise, should we take care of that housekeeping matter first?
Right. I think we should have a vote to appoint Daryl as chairperson of the consultant committee.
Okay. Is it okay for me to open the meeting before I'm voted in?
You're acting at this point, I think. Yep.
Okay. So meeting.
Do we need a motion?
I'm happy to make
it. Yes.
I'll move the appointment of Daryl as chair of the consultant committee.
Is there a second?
This is Lawrence, second.
It's been moving properly second to make me chair of the consultant committee. All in favor, signify by aye.
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 Opposed? Any abstentions? All right, motion carries. Thank you all, honored to serve. I ran a meeting last week, didn't I?
Yes, you did, for Chesla.
We're doing the same thing. No.
Same concept, different
thing. Pretty much the same, yes.
We appointed different people, but yes, the purpose of this meeting is to appoint financial advisor, special counsel.
And special counsel, gotcha. All right, moving on to the printed agenda, we have three items. The first is consideration of the approval of the minutes for the October 16th, 2019 meeting of the consulting committee. I'll take a motion first.
Yeah, I'll move it.
Second?
This is Lawrence, second.
Moving properly second. Any edits or discussion regarding the October 16, 2019 minutes? Hearing none, all in favor, signify by the sign of aye.
Aye.
So I'll abstain. I wasn't at that meeting or on the committee.
Okay, and I'll vote aye. So any opposed? Motion carries 3-1.
Denise or Jeanette, I mean, these minutes that we just approved are over 2 years old. For a committee that meets as infrequently as this one, does it make sense to circulate the minutes, you know, maybe a month or two after the meeting, get them approved, and then that's done prior to the next meeting? Because it's very honestly, it feels a little silly to be approving minutes that are 2 years old. Honestly, I don't remember how accurate they are. Does that make sense? Denise, is that okay to do?
But you'd have to actually hold the meeting then to approve the minutes. And then you'd have another set of minutes.
they just can't be circulated, right? and then approved at the next meeting, I guess.
Oh, you could circulate them for review, right? So you could, yeah.
All right, forget it. It will complicate things. It just seems... approving minutes that are 2 years old is
And they would even in draft form until whenever the next meeting is held, if someone were to request them, we would just provide them in draft form.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, Peter, but to have a meeting to then have to do could we approve the minutes from the special meeting at the end of the
session? Got it. Yeah. bad idea by Peter. Okay.
Good idea. Good idea. Some folks refer to it as government red tape, but we know better.
Okay. Moving along.
On to the second agenda item, which is the appointment or recommendation and consideration for financial advisor. Michael?
Yes. One more thing about the committee itself, since many are new to the committee. So you're responsible for appointing special counsel and financial advisor, which we will do today, and then bond counsel and underwriting firms, which we will do next year. We meet every 3 years for the three-year process. And then obviously the recommendations are brought to the board for full approval. And like I said, it's for a period of 3 years. And then for the auditors, those are done at the Audit Finance Committee for both the independent auditor and the internal auditor.
And I believe that would be for the auditors. Does it come through us first or go through them
It goes through the Audit Finance Committee. That'll be done in February, Cynthia?
Is Cynthia on the call?
She is. Looks like she's on mute.
Oh.
Right. So yes, it would be in that time frame.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
The independent auditor, that will be in February.
Yes, it is. That is scheduled for an Audit Finance Committee in February.
Okay. Am I correct in assuming that there's something in our organizing documents, for the better lack of a better word, that would have that consultant not go through this committee, but go through the Audit Finance Committee?
It is in the Audit Finance Committee's, and I'm using the charter right now. It is in their organizing documents, basically, that say that they are responsible for that consultant. Okay.
Are there any other consultants that don't come through this committee other than the auditors?
Internal audit also goes through Audit Finance. So any of the audit consultants go through Audit Finance Committee.
And all others come through this committee?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Michael?
All righty. For financial advisor, first, their role, they're typically assigned only to public offerings. They assist us throughout the bond issuance process. This includes providing input on the transaction structuring, document and review, but most importantly, their role is to oversee the bond pricing process, providing pricing analysis and advice and negotiating with the underwriter to ensure that the appropriate interest rate levels are set at the time of pricing. They may be required to assist us with other new programs, which they've done in the past, but that's their primary role. The RFP was sent out to the existing approved firms, that's PFM and Acacia Financial, and also to Hilltop Securities. The RFP was also posted on our website and also the Department of Administrative Services portal. We received 4 responses, 2 from the approved firms, and 1 from Lamont Financial, and 1 from Municipal Finance Strategies. Looking at PFM and Acacia are existing FAs. They rank 1st and 4th, respectively, nationally based on the par amount issue. PFM has been the authority's financial advisor since 1993 and has served as the financial advisor on all the Connecticut State University System's competitive bid offerings, dating back to 1995. Acacia has been the chief advisor since 2009. Lamont Financial, they also have extensive experience and they're ranked 8th nationally on negotiated bond issues. It's a relatively small firm of 7. Their clients mainly consist of municipal clients. Both the founder, Bob Lamb, and the managing director have over 30 years of experience. Since 2016, they served as FA in 119 transactions totaling over $5.15 billion. The firm has represented the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, the Connecticut Green Bank, MDC, and the Office of the State Treasurer. They also served as RFA from 1999 to 2012. Their expertise extends to workouts and debt restructuring, mainly for healthcare facilities. They worked on the Hospital for Special Care for us many years ago. Like I said, they're very, very experienced, but mostly clients consist of municipal clients. And then Municipal Finance Strategies, that's a one-person shop out of Darien that was established in 2020. This person experience includes 20 years of investment banking, working for a regional bond firm in California, and also as an analyst for Bear Stearns. She also started her own advisory firm in California for 7 years, and working with clients mainly consisting of cities, water districts and school districts and affordable housing. She has no experience working with any of the state authorities or with any healthcare or educational facilities. So in short, with that, we're gonna recommend both Acacia and PFM to serve as financial advisor for a period up to 3 years. We're very pleased with their service. And We think appointing two financial advisors is sufficient for the amount of deal flow we have. One thing I would like to mention, though, is for PFM, they serve as financial advisor for many of our clients, which includes Wesleyan, Quinnipiac, University of New Haven, Bristol Hospital, and now the Connecticut College new issue. This all started back in 2012 when the role was reduced from full financial advisor to just financial advisor for the Connecticut State University system bond issues. But we also afforded Acacia the same opportunity to do the same, but it's just been PFM that's held these positions for our clients. So with that, do you have any questions?
Thank you, Michael.
Mike, I'm just kind of, I'm supportive of the staff's recommendation, and I'll be happy to move the motion. I just have just some questions. The folks that, well, does Acacia and PFM, do they have a footprint here in Connecticut? Do they have an office? Or do these folks, when they attend the chief of meetings, do they come down from Boston or up from New York? I mean, do they have a local, a state presence?
Not physical office presence in Connecticut, no.
They don't, okay.
Acacia has come up from New Jersey.
Again, I'm fully supportive of staff's recommendation. I'm just kind of curious, is there a financial advisor based in Connecticut that we might be able to consider at some point in the future?
Hilltop Securities, they have an office in Connecticut, right, Jeanette?
Yes, they do. That does primarily municipal work. And I believe you sent them, the RFP was sent to them.
Right, but they didn't respond.
They did not respond, right.
Okay. All right, that's fine. I just, you know, to the extent we can support Connecticut-based business, but if there's not that opportunity, so be it.
Well, there's a limited number of these financial advisory firms as well.
Yeah, okay.
Like, I didn't go through and do a real comparison, but on fees, are they, can they were written a little bit different with each firm of how they would charge. And I know that gets passed on to the borrower, but was that a consideration?
Yes and no, because we set the fee. They're amenable to that. I think we're
going to. The compensation that they list here, you set?
Ultimately, we do set.
So why would it be different for the different advisors?
If you just to get a feel where they would be coming from.
So we have parameters that we have already established in terms of the maximum based on par amount, correct, Michael?
Well, there's a base fee, then so many cents per bond with a minimum and a maximum.
Right. Yeah, and it was different within the different proposals, right? I mean, right. Some of them were like 75 cents, some had a base fee plus.
Right.
Some was more for healthcare than education. I was just kind of curious. But so you set the parameters. They correct. All came back with the compensation you've listed here of what right. they're willing to accept. But it's all of them are within your parameters. So then you didn't go and say, well, overall, this one would be a lower cost. So we should pick them.
We can look at that when we set the parameters.
So it's a little bit on a deal by deal basis. So to the you know, correct, Michael, if someone proposes, you know, based on our formula, you know, we would be charging $100,000 for this transaction, then we would return them to, you know, well, as you know, the chief of guideline is, you know, not to exceed X. Is that correct, Michael?
Correct.
So what they've listed here is meaningless? Are not important.
I wouldn't say meaningless. I just wanted to get a feel with it, what they would be charging it. And, you know, and if we had to look at changing our parameters, if you know.
Okay. So this is what they came back with, and you looked at it and said, well, all of them are within our parameters.
Are pretty close, yes.
Okay.
Right. And that was the only question I had, which apologize if mine works a little bit differently. Of the two recommended firms, PFM and Acacia, PFM is recommending or proposed D different fee structures for competitive versus negotiated, and Acacia had a combined for competitive and negotiated. So as I look at Acacia with a minimum of 30,000 and a maximum of 95,000, it's really not apples to oranges compared to PFM, because PFM has it split out, a different structure for negotiated, 20 to 60,000 per, and on competitive 60 to 110.
It was a little hard to figure out from a cost perspective.
Right. It's not an apples to apples comparison.
How often do we do competitive transactions?
Only for the Connecticut State University systems that do once every 3-4 years.
Right. And in that instance, their role is, you know, significantly different than what they're doing on the negotiated side, because they are much more involved in structuring the transaction, assessing the feasibility of the transaction. They're running the competitive bid process. So it is a different kind of a role.
Sure. In my mind, as I look at PFM and Acacia's proposed compensation structure, right or wrong, I get to defaulting that PFM does negotiated and Acacia does competitive, just based on their fee structure, because their compensation proposals are most cost effective for us.
So it's really that PFM is the only one, the only borrower we have that uses a competitive bid process is Connecticut State Colleges and Universities, and that those are handled by PFM. So Acacia does not do any competitive bids.
For us.
Correct.
So in what scenario would we tap Acacia to serve as financial advisor, knowing that they're going to cost us more?
Well, in the general range of, you know, depending on par amount, in most instances, their fees are not going to, will be in line with our expectations. Is that correct, Michael?
Yes. Yes.
And so unless you got to the, you know, sort of maybe pushing the outer limits of par amount that would generate a higher fee, maybe that's when they would go above that. And then, you know, we would on a transaction by transaction basis kind of rein them back in. And then, you know, there are sometimes extenuating circumstances with regard to the fee on a particular deal. So if there's some highly unusual circumstance that required them to do, you know, additional analysis that they normally would not do, then that might, we might also take that into consideration with regard to the fees.
Okay, so that sounds like, based on each firm's experience and what the complexity of the negotiated transaction we're bringing, we would pick the advisor that best meets our needs, even though Acacia has a minimum fee of $30,000 and PFM has a minimum fee of
$20,000. I would say yes. In many instances, if they're going to be above their minimums anyway, you know, because that's how it works out based on the par amount of the transaction.
Okay. Any other questions for Michael or Jeanette? Entertain a motion?
I think I made a motion, but I'm happy to do it again. I'll move acceptance of staff's recommendation for financial advisor of Acacia and PFM.
And I'll second that.
It's been moved and properly second. All in favor, signify by the sign of aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Michael, special counsel.
Okay, this RFP was sent to our three existing appointed firms. That's Carmi Torrance, McCarter and English, and Shipman and Goodwin. It is also posted on our website as well as the DAS portal. Their role is primarily for real estate matters, environmental, construction-related matters, for the bond issuance and other Connecticut law issues in connection with other bond issues. They are also only assigned to public offerings. Special counsel also provides support for employment and legislative related matters. Comrie has been assisting the authority on employment matters, while Shipman has been involved in legislative matters since they've been appointed. And they also assisted with the development of Chief of CDC. All three have a very long tenure with the authority. Comrie's been special counsel since 1996, McCarter since 2006, and Shipman since 1993. Due to their experience with our policies, all three are very efficient and provide cost-effective service to the authority and to our clients. And we've been very pleased with the services. I don't know, Denise or Cynthia, if you wanted to add anything, because you also work with these firms.
Carmody's been very helpful in review of Connecticut's new FMLA law, and we've been updating our personnel manual in that respect. And they've done very good work on that.
Michael, as you introduced this, you cited a specialty for Carmody Torrance. You mentioned Shipman and Goodwin on the legislative side. You didn't cite a specific area that McCarter and English would, you know, that helps out. And do they have a particular niche that you would look to them for?
Typically, it's just been Carmody for employment and Shipman for legislative matters. Right. But I'm sure they'd be able to, I mean, they do have practices that have those as well.
Right. And actually, McCarter did do some special research for us with regard to our environmental requirements. Yes. That they did a few years ago and sort of revisited recently as well.
Yeah, our policies on that. So, yeah, they've helped with that. Okay. So with that, we're recommending all three firms be retained for a period of 3 years as special counsel.
Can I just ask one more question? The RFP went out to these three firms. Did it get posted on a website also?
Yeah, our website as well.
Did anyone reply to that?
Nope, we only received the three.
Okay, all right. I'll move acceptance of staff's recommendation for the appointment of special counsel Carmody Torrance, McCarter English, and Shipman and Goodwin.
There a second?
I can second that.
This is Lawrence, second.
So moving properly second, that we accept staff's recommendation for the three law firms. All in favor signify by the sign of aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Believe that completes our agenda. Are there any other old or new business items?
I would just say next year we'll be targeting the October meeting for approval, because it's typically held in October. We're running a little late in this year's cycle, because we have a lot of other committees meetings in November, as you're well aware.
Yes, we are. All right, if there's no other business, I'll entertain Peter's favorite motion.
To adjourn, Peter moves it.
Second, all in favor?
Second.
We are adjourned.
Aye. All right, aye.
See everyone. Thanks, everybody. See you later.
See you this afternoon.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.